Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Welcome to Calvary Church and the conclusion of our Loving God, Loving People, Loving Life vision series. This has been such a great one over the last couple of weeks, and today we bring our vision series in for a landing. Now, today is also a very exciting day. It's our annual Vision Offering Sunday, which we've been talking about and praying about over the last month. This is a day when we as a church can corporately wrap our faith around this moment and believe God for big things as we keep moving ahead. And we're very excited about this miracle day of generosity because, again, it always allows us to take a giant leap forward in where we're at. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to be a part of this today, to give something that's above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings so that you can help us to reach our goal. Now, some of you can give hundreds. Some of you can give thousands. Really, no seed or gift is too big or too small. But the one constant is true. We can't do it without you. Now, as you can see, if you're here at the church driving around the parking lot, we've begun some of the preparation for our parking lot project. We're waiting for the place to dry out. We've had a lot of rain lately. Once it has, we can bring in the heavy machinery and get things going as far as getting the project done. Our parking lot is about 27 years old, and it has officially come to the end of its life, and so now we're going to move forward with this upgrade. And so I want to encourage you to help us make this happen. We're believing to have it completely paid off over the next few years through our annual vision offering. So in today's service, you're going to hear from one of our incredible board members as we take up this offering and celebrate today what he's doing. Before we jump into the message today, I want to just take a moment and welcome you, those of you that are perhaps joining us for the first time, either here in the house, on our online campus, or maybe you're listening to our podcast. We want you to know how honored we are that you're spending time in your week with us. To see the vision that God's called us to come to pass takes a lot of people. It takes all of you, all of us standing together. You know, Andy Stanley once said, "Vision is a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by the conviction that it should be." You know, I believe we all need a clear, God-ordained vision for each of the roles that we have in our lives. So whether you're a parent with a vision for your children, or maybe you're a CEO with a corporate vision for the company that you lead, we're all called to develop and maintain God's unique purpose for our lives. Now, I've said it before, but I will say it again. It bears repeating that all of us are going to end up somewhere, but some people end up somewhere on purpose. And it's vision that empowers us to move with purpose in this predetermined direction. And it gives us a reason for getting up every day. It gives us a reason for showing up to all the responsibilities and the things that we're called to. I found in my life that vision-led people, they're motivated people. Find me a man or woman who lacks motivation, and I'll show you someone who lacks vision for their lives. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've discovered that it's out of our deep love for God that the vision for our life flows. And it's that vision which propels us to keep moving forward. Because when we see what he sees, it allows us to push past those difficult and challenging times in our lives. It produces endurance within us. We've also learned that when we love God most, we will love people best. At the command of Christ in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, where he pulls from the Torah in Deuteronomy and Leviticus to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. This is not a great suggestion. This is the great command. See, loving people isn't always easy, in case you haven't realized that yet. We don't always feel it. Some people are easier to love than others. Some of those people that are harder to love, maybe some of us. But it's challenging sometimes. But the fact that Jesus elevated the significance of this truth as the greatest command in the law should in turn elevate its significance in how we live our lives. Our Calvary mission is simple. It's the combination of the great command and the great commission given to us by Jesus himself, to love God and to love people while leading them to become fully devoted followers of Christ, disciples. See, this is a clear mission that guides every single decision we make as we pursue him with our life and as we set ourselves to reach the lost at any cost. Which brings us today to our final episode, which is loving life. See, as we love God, we will love others. And in loving others, we will love the life that he's given us. Loving God, loving people, loving life. You know, in his first epistle, Peter cites a phrase that quickly kind of grabs our attention. He's actually quoting David from Psalm 34. In 1 Peter 3, 10 to 12, he says, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." Go after it. So Peter gives us this invitation, this call to higher living, to a better path that we're all called to walk. But sadly, many people today profess their love for God, but they don't love their life. They don't value that gift that he's given us. Years ago, I told a story when I was leaving church one day about a hitchhiker I passed on the highway. But it works perfectly here with what we're talking about. It was a long day after multiple services, and I jumped in the car, was by myself, and I was headed home, jumped on the highway, and was heading east. And up in the distance, I saw this guy. He had this massive backpack on, pots and pans, and all kinds of crazy things hanging off of it. And he was holding a big piece of cardboard, which I assumed was the destination where he was calling on drivers to take him, right? And so he's holding this, and I'm getting closer. I'm trying to read what's on the sign. And because I'm headed east, I figured it would say Hope or Kelowna or something that's headed in that direction. But as I got right up to him, I saw three words. It just says, "Out of here." He was not having it. He didn't care the destination. He just wanted to be delivered from where he was right now. Anything has got to be better than this place right now. You know, a wise man once said that no matter where you go, there you are. Now that sounds ridiculous, but it's also profound. It means that some of the things that we're trying to escape from will not simply change because we leave town or we leave a relationship or we leave a church even. See, many of those issues that we struggle with are still inside of us. And wherever we go, those things follow us where we go. These are the things that are tightly packed into our backpack. And things that are hanging off every side as we head out of town. Because until you're ready to put that weight and lay it all down at Jesus' feet and let it go, you're going to be constantly stumbling under the weight of all this junk that we just keep packing into. And it keeps weighing us down and causing us to look with disdain on the life that we've been given. Listen, somebody needs to hear this today. Your anxiety, it's lying to you. You are loved and it's going to be okay. Your life is a precious gift given to you by God himself. And it was given on purpose and it was given with purpose. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's trying to do with your life today. But what Jesus is doing is this. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Another translation says, to have this abundant life. That's what Jesus wants for all of us. So do you love your life? I'm not asking you if you love God, but something different. Do you value being alive? I'm not even asking you if you love maybe the train wreck of the situations that you're faced with right now. But do you love the gift of life that God has given you? Because no matter what it is you're facing, no matter how difficult it seems right now, no matter how painful it is, your life is still filled with promise and possibility. What you're dealing with right now, whatever it is you're going through, it will pass. It will disappear. But the promises of God in your life will never pass away. Again, it will pass. Peter and David here are both trying to tell us that there is a pathway to loving life. Instead of just tolerating it, instead of putting up with it, Jesus said he came to give not just eternal life, but to have an abundant one. That's the kind of life that he's called us to live. Now, the Greek word for abundant or full in John 10:10 is parousos, which means superabundant in quantity, or superior in quality, excessive, advantage, exceedingly, very highly, and beyond measure. So if we combine any of those words that I just said with life, we realize that we have been promised something wonderful for living right now. Not in the sweet by and by, not someday when we get on the other side, but right now. In 2022, as we still pass through this pandemic together, that's his promise. The perspective that we have for God will enable us to see life differently. But it's important that we make this shift, because one of the ways that we can grow in loving our life is to focus on working with God instead of for God. Because we're friends with this amazing God who is close to us, walking with us through these situations. Not like an employer, not like someone who we have to do something for. It's a decision we make. It's a relationship that we value. You see, those with a working for God mindset struggle living life to the fullest because they believe that somehow God is off in the distance evaluating us instead of intimately walking through whatever it is we're facing. The good news is that even in our weakness, the Father delights in giving grace or his divine enablement so that we can experience true abundant life. Now listen, mission and vision are both very important. They both play a very important role in our life, but they're often confused as the same thing. And we touch on this every now and then, but I want to make this clear. Because they're not the same thing, especially when it comes to church life. You see, the mission of the church is unchanging, or at least it should be. It was set by Jesus himself in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, to love God and to love people while leading them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now, it's all said a little bit differently, but the truth of it is just what I've said. Now, our vision, on the other hand, is contextual. It's how we fulfill our mission in our culture, in our community, in the day that we're living in. It's what we're believing for in the future. So the how we do it looks different. Looks different for different people and different churches. So what does it look like for us here at Calvary? Now, for some of you, this will reinforce what you've already committed your life to. But for others, this, especially those of you that are new to the church, it will help give you a clear understanding of where we're headed as a church family. Loving life is directly connected to who God has called us to be as a church community. And the mission and vision of his church influences the mission and the vision of our families. So let's look at four ways who we are as a church community can actually enhance our love for the life that we're given. The first one is this: we are always moving forward. We're not content to stay where we're at. We have this holy dissatisfaction. If you've been around me before, you've heard that term. We have a holy dissatisfaction. We're thankful for where God has brought us, but we know in Him there's always more. In Job chapter 17, verse 9, it says, "The righteous shall move onward and forward. Those with pure hearts shall become stronger and stronger." You see, we're a church where every member can be a minister, young and old, equipped as disciples, serving on teams, using their God-given gifts and abilities to serve our Creator and to serve one another. And we're moving forward on our knees and in the study of His Word. We're also a multicultural, intergenerational, multi-campus church of small groups, providing care and connection, getting bigger and getting smaller all at the same time. So that as our church grows and our community grows through small groups, we can still have that close, intimate connection in those smaller Calvary groups that we can be a part of. You see, our lives are always enhanced as we celebrate the differences that we have among us. We're stronger, we're better together. We're a church of dreamers. We're a church of dreamers and doers filled with faith, ready to risk our comfort for the cause of the kingdom. Sometimes you gotta go out beyond yourself to do what God's called you to do. In other words, we'll do everything short of sin to reach the lost, to reach people for Jesus, to bring hope to the hopeless. Number two, we're designed by God to express life. You know, sometimes I think we need to stir ourselves up to truly demonstrate what He's done within us. He has freely given to us new life so that we can freely express it to other people. And our church culture reflects this. We are a Spirit-empowered church that knows how to celebrate and passionately worship God through music, through drama, through dance, using the arts to convey the gospel. We're a church that's encouraging. We're a people that are encouraging and full of life. We're also a church that's extravagant in generosity towards God and one another. Great example of this in action is today, our Vision Offering Sunday, as people sacrificially and prayerfully give, believing that we can make a difference together. We also see it in the life of our small groups, as groups come together to share what they have with one another, to help new families celebrate coming together and having a home of their own, bringing furniture and meals and loving on one another. Those are the moments where that generosity truly shines. Number three, we're young and we're young at heart. I don't know about you, but no matter how old I get, I will remain young at heart. And may God help all of us to cheer on and to support the next generation so that they will always know that we are forever in their corner. I believe a young mindset always sees life's possibility. We're a church that's filled with kids who are not the church of tomorrow, but they're the church of today. We're a church that actively makes a place for our young people to be all that they're called to be, to do everything we can to support them. We're a church that's filled with honor, where the wisdom of one generation and the passion of the next are both celebrated all in the same place. And then finally, we are missions-minded. Loving our life also means being mindful of those who still need to experience the life-changing power of the gospel. Our mission field could be on the other side of the world, could be planting churches in Ukraine or Turkey or Haiti. But it could also mean reaching our neighbor on the other side of the fence. You see, we're a church community that's big enough to reach the world, but small enough to still feel like home. So what does that look like practically for us? Well, locally, we partner with ministries like Night Shift, helping our street friends in the Wally area, working with the Dream Center, helping families in need within the public school system, helping our community with practical needs. Nationally, it means helping and standing and supporting new church works with ARC, the Association of Related Churches. And then globally, with the IPHC, with World Missions Ministry, standing with missionaries like Bob and Carol Cave, with those that we love as we minister to people on the other side of the world. Acts 1:8 covers all of these things in one powerful scripture. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, we love our community. We love our city. We love our nation and the nations of the world. And it's reflected in how we plan and deploy our resources. And it's reflected in how we pray. You know, the Apostle Paul asks a very pointed question about our love for life and how we live it in the book of Galatians. Galatians 4:15 says, "What has happened to all your joy?" That question, I think, still needs to be asked today, more now than ever before. What happened to all my joy? Don't confuse happiness and joy, because happiness is connected to your circumstances, which are always changing, but your joy is connected to your Savior. So what message is my life communicating? If true joy abides within you, then it should show in how you live your life. Are you taking joy out of the world, or are you filling it up with your love for the gift of life that He's given to you? Today, I want you to commit our lives as we stand together. Let's commit ourselves even more than ever before to loving God, loving people, and loving life. As we also commit ourselves to the healthy habit of coming together to build His church, that great work that is still alive and well. Today, there are some of you, wherever you're joining us around the world, that are doubting the value of your life. Maybe some of you have been thinking of walking away from a relationship, a church, a situation where you feel that it's just become too difficult. But I want you to know that most of the time, some of the things we struggle with are not external, they're happening within us. And changing location is not going to solve all those problems. It's a heart condition. We need surgery. We need the Father God to perform that surgery on us, to not allow anxiety and depression to get the best of us, but to be liberated and to be made free in Jesus' name. If that's you today, I want you to know that your life is a precious gift. Your life is filled with hope. Your life is filled with possibility when you place that life in His hands. I'd love to pray for you today, wherever you are, that God would move in your life and reveal to you this precious gift that He's given you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for the life that You've given us, for this great gift. God, forgive us for the times when we've taken it for granted, and today I pray that we would see its value and recognize the plan and the purpose You have for each one of us. I pray that as we love You, as we love Your people, that we would also love the life that You've given us, the opportunity we have to express that life-giving power to the world around us. And so today, in Jesus' name, I pray for healing, body, soul, and spirit, for everyone who's watching this message or hearing this message, and today they would experience that freedom that is only found in You. And if that's you, and maybe you don't know Jesus, maybe you've never prayed that prayer, you can do that today by praying this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize You as Lord and Savior. Thank You for forgiving me of my sin. Come into my heart, be my Lord and be my Savior. Fill my life with hope and purpose, that I may take that same hope and purpose to the world around me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. Love that life that God's given you as you love the world around you.